Good morning and welcome to the presence, everyone.
Hey, good morning.
Hallelujah. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome, those of you who are in house, those of you watching via live stream, our Facebook page, YouTubes. We're so glad to be in the house of the Lord. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord today?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Are you ready to praise the Lord?
Yeah.
Come on, stand on your feet. Let's give God some praise. Hallelujah. We're going to thank the Lord for saving us. How many of you are thankful that God saved you this morning? Here we go.
Oh, hallelujah.
Our God.
Come on, put those hands together. Give God some praise for a second. Look at somebody and tell them, I'm so thankful God saved me. Come on, tell somebody, I'm thankful God saved me.
Thirsty, come to the well, never. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. There is no other name, oh God. Father, you said if we come in any other way, it's like a thief or a robber, oh God. But Lord, you said there's only one way, oh God, that we can be saved. It's through the name of Jesus, oh God. You said that the blood of the Lamb, oh God, that you shed for us on Calvary Cross, oh God. Father, you said if we don't cry out, the rocks will cry out, oh God. Lord, let us not, oh God, be timid, oh God, but let us cry out to you, oh Lord God, today. Father, we thank you, oh Lord God. You said if we hunger and thirst after you, oh God, we shall be filled, oh Lord God. So, Father, fill us today, oh God. Fill us up, oh God. Fill our minds and our hearts and our souls up on you, oh God. Father, we ask that you just stir us up, oh God, down on the inside, oh God. Lord, help us, Holy Spirit, oh God, to do your word, do your will, oh God, in the name of Jesus, oh God. Father, we thank you, oh Lord God, for another day, oh God, another day that we can say yes to your word, oh God. We can say yes to your will, oh God. We can say hallelujah, oh God. Oh God, give them a Shabbat today, oh God. Lord, we know souls are lost today, oh God. We know hearts are downtrodden, oh God. But you said, oh God, that we can look to you, oh God, because that's where our help comes from, oh God. So, Father, we thank you, Heavenly Father. We pray for the body of Christ today, oh God. We thank you, oh Lord God. We pray for the churches, oh God. We pray for the sick, oh God. We pray for the lost, oh God, in the name of Jesus, oh God. You said of your people, oh God, who are called by your name, oh God, will humble themselves, oh God. We come humbly to you, oh God, right now, Heavenly Father, oh God. Help us, Holy Spirit. Help our country, oh Lord God. Help Israel today, oh God. Send forth your word, oh God. Lord, you're the judge, oh God. You're the jury, oh Lord God. Father, you're the leader, oh God, in the name of Jesus, oh God. There is none like you, Heavenly Father. There is none before you, oh God, in the name of Jesus, oh Father. And we thank you, oh Lord God. We thank you for what you're going to do, oh God. Father, you said eyes have not seen, oh God, nor ears have heard, oh God, nor have it entered into the hearts the thing, oh Lord God, that you have in store for your people, oh God. So we're your people today, oh God. We ask it, oh Lord God, that you will heal us, oh God, spiritually, emotionally, financially, oh God, in the name of Jesus, oh God. No weapon formed against the body of Christ shall prosper. And any tongue that rise up against you, oh God, shall be shown to be in the wrong, Heavenly Father. Father, we thank you, oh Lord God. Father, let our feet, oh God, be directed, oh God. Let our thoughts be renewed, oh God. Let our hearts be changed, oh God. Lord, let us, Lord God, cry loud and spare not, oh God, because your word is true, oh God. And you said the truth, oh God, will set us free, oh God. Set the captive free today, oh Lord God. Those that are lost, set them free, oh God. Heal them, oh God, in the name of Jesus, oh God. Father, we need more of you, oh God. We need more of you, oh God, in the name of Jesus right now, oh God. Father, we ask that you make the crooked place straight, oh God, and the rough place plain, oh God, that we would know where you want us to go, even during the fast, oh God. Lord, let us have a love for you, oh God. Let us have a desire for you, oh God. Father, let the miracle come forth, oh God. Let the miracle be, oh God, when we begin to change lives, oh God. We begin to draw souls in for the kingdom, oh God. You said the kingdom, oh God. Seek ye the first, the kingdom of God, and all his righteousness, oh Lord. So we're seeking you today, oh God. We're seeking your word, your counsel, oh God. We're seeking your healing, oh God. We're seeking your deliverance today, oh God, in the name of Jesus, oh Lord God. And for the furtherance of this service, oh God, touch our hearts, oh God. Make our hearts be ready and willing to receive the word of God in the name of Jesus, oh God, Father. And we just thank you, oh God. We don't take it for granted, oh God. We thank you for another day, oh God. In the name of Jesus, oh Lord God. We praise you right now, oh God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah. 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 Come on, let's give God a good hand praise this morning. Sing I Surrender All.
I surrender all.
the voice of the enemy that wants to whisper it's never going to be okay, because he's still a liar and we are still victorious in Christ Jesus. We are still victorious in Christ Jesus. He cares for you. Give him the tears. The scripture says he bottles them up. Not a tear that falls is lost. He sees and hears the prayer in the tears that fall. And he's ready to answer. He is the faithful God. He is faithful to his word. Said he'd never leave you, never forsake you. So know that in this moment, he's with you. Come on, let's give him a hand. If you believe he's with you, and he's going to carry you through, he's going to carry you through. We trust him today, amen. We trust him today, amen. Hallelujah. Come on, if you believe it, let's do our affirmation prayer together. Father, I thank you that as I delight myself in you, you will give me the desires of my heart, because you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. I will not lose heart or give up, because I can do all things through you who strengthens me. And I will reap in my due season if I do not get weary in doing good. Father, I decree according to 3 John 2 that in every area of my life, I am prospering and I am in good health, even as my soul prospers. I am free from pain, sickness, and disease, and I walk in divine health. Therefore, now let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may continue forever before thee. For thou, O Lord God, hast spoken it, and with thy blessing, let the house of thy servant be blessed forever. Amen. God bless you.
You may be seated just for a moment if you like. Welcome to the presence this morning during our 121 pause of fasting and consecration. We are so delighted to have each and every one of you here, those watching via live stream, in the name of Jesus. Aren't you thankful for that name? There's not too many things we can say, well, that works every time, but we know that works every time. So thankful to have each and every one of you. Would you find a couple people around you? If you don't feel like getting up, it's okay. As long as you greet someone just real quick. It looks like we've got all family here this morning. We always like to honor those first time here with us, but I see all family. If you're watching online, if you would find someone near to you, if there's someone close to you, give them a big hug. High fives. Kind of hard to do that. Sit still. Everyone usually ends up getting up. And at this time, we want to go ahead and let all of our children, our presence kids, if you would stand and make your way to the back. Can we give our kids a hand this morning? Evan, tell Ariana to come back this way. Awesome. Well, would you please help me give our pastor, Alvin Frugé, a warm welcome this morning as he comes.
Jim. Come up here, Jim. Jim's one of the most faithful members we have ever had. I just need to give you a little history. Turn that down just a little bit. Sounds good. One Jim always, almost every Sunday, beats us all here. He's in the parking lot. But one Sunday, he came late. I was on the keyboard. The band was here. He walked in, and I stopped everything. I said, Jim, if you come late one more time, you're fired. Well, Jim came to me a couple of weeks ago and said that he feels the need, the call to attend church around the corner from his home with his wife. And I think that's admirable. She, for health reasons, is unable to spend a whole lot of time traveling, and they live in Broken Arrow, and so we understand that. Jim has been with us since the beginning, the very beginning, and love his heart. I don't even remember, I don't remember how we connected. I think I saw him at a church and he was playing. I said, would you be interested in playing? I'm doing a concert. Would you, you know? And ever since, he's I can't get rid of him. So he's always a part of us. This is Jim's last Sunday with us today. So I just wanted to bring him up and just say to you, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you. You've never asked for anything. You've always been here, always faithful, always ready. And whether we're playing here or somewhere else, and I can't express to you how appreciative we are of how you humbly serve and been here faithfully. Every church needs a Jim Tierney, so we just wanted to publicly thank you. Is there anything you just want to do?
I just would like to thank everybody, especially the musicians. It's been an honor and a privilege to play here, and just usher in the presence of the Lord. I do this heavy-heartedly. I was reminded that servants don't always get to pick and choose where they serve. So I will miss you folks extremely. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Well, we're going to miss you too. Amen. 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 While you're standing, would you point your hands this way and let's just pray a prayer of blessing. God, we thank you for our friend. We thank you for our family member. He will always be a part of us. Always. Thank you for Jim's faithfulness. And we thank you, Lord, for his life, for his light, and for how he has been a blessing to so many. God, I pray that as he now begins this next journey, that you would just strengthen him, bless him, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, touch him and his wife, God. We pray, God, that as they now begin to attend church together, that you would bless their home even more. And we pray for healing in both of their lives. And we send them with your blessing. May the blessing of the Lord be upon him and his wife. And as they start attending church together, we thank you for sending him to us for such a time as this, for this season. And we honor you for it. And we bless Jim in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Make sure you give him a big God bless you and a big hug before he leaves. And thank God. I want to everybody doing good? Hallelujah. So y'all see I got my weeping prophet towel. One of them. And that was given to me. I brought it today because who knows? Every so often, I just want to say a special thank you to everyone who took part in the planning, everything of the pastor's appreciation last Sunday. I was just surprised, overwhelmed, and blessed by the cards and the blessings and just everything. And I don't take it lightly. And you know, it's just good to know that the seeds that we're planting, the words, the time, the study, the everything that we put in to making sure that we are being the best shepherd that we can be, that people notice. And so I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen. So now I have a word to speak, but I just feel like I need to share something sort of before I share the message. Will you allow me to kind of do just a few? It deals with our church. And first I want to say that our 121 pause, I want everyone in our church, I want to challenge everyone to see this as something God has called rather than something I have called. I want you to see it as something that God has called us to. Thank you. Thank you, Gabe. I want you to see it as something God has called, not me. But God has called this fast, okay? And when you take it that way, then you understand that there are specific reasons why God has called us into this time of prayer and fasting. During this fast, and you have received via email, and we've got papers back there, we are asking God for three things, to do three things. One, reveal to us on a deeper level who he is as our Savior, our Lord, and our God. Everybody say our Savior, our Lord, and our God. And I'm gonna teach on that in just a few minutes. Number two, we're asking God to give us marked numerical growth in our church. I said numerical growth. Now, we've been saying for years that, you know, we've asked God to fill this house with his presence, with his people, and with his provision. And I can tell you that the presence of God is here. And I can also tell you that the provision is here because our church is blessed. Okay? Our church is blessed financially. What we have not yet really seen is the filling of the house with his people. And so that's what we're going after. We're asking God to fill this house with young families, young people, youth, and children. Somebody will say amen. You know, I love the Presence Cruisers. All the Presence Cruisers say hey. But if the majority of our church are Presence Cruisers, then we're going to be in trouble. Okay? Because they're going to go on and be with the Lord. It is just true. So we need to get younger as a church. So we're asking God to bring in young families, young adults, children, and youth. All right. Number three, we're asking God to give us the Bethel facility. Yeah. Yeah. So, the Bethel Church. Y'all know where it is? Y'all don't know where it is? Come on, follow me. I'll show you. No. Let me just share a few thoughts on that. First of all, you have no idea how long it took Pastor to even have the faith or courage to stand before you and say, y'all, we're going after Bethel. I had to get over some things in my own personal life before I said that. Okay? God had to convince me that when I spoke it, that it wasn't up to me whether it happened, it was up to him. Right? So with that said, I'm just going to talk to you here. I think we all need to hear some things. I've had a few conversations with some of our people, who have expressed their concern about that we're believing God for that property when we haven't filled this place. Look around. Look at the empty chairs. I want you to know that every time I come on a Sunday morning, every empty chair is screaming at me. Not literally. I said this in prayer. I said, listen, God, you gave us these chairs. We didn't pay it. These were brand new chairs when we first got them. Didn't pay a dime for them. God blessed us with these chairs. He didn't bless us with these chairs for them to sit empty. So I want the chairs filled. All right. So with that said, you know, we're having we're having difficulty finding people to facilitate various areas of ministry here. And so people have expressed concern. Pastor, why are we going after that when we can't fill this up yet? And I honestly, I share some of these concerns. I think about it. I want this place to be filled. Do y'all want this place to be filled? Amen. Amen. Talk to me. It would seem logical to think that we shouldn't consider a bigger facility if we haven't yet filled this one. I get it. I understand that thinking. All of these are logical concerns. I understand it. But sometimes faith just isn't logical. Would you just look at some, because I'm already preaching. I haven't had you to lift up your Bible yet, but would you look at somebody and tell them faith is not logical? Yes, we would love for this place to be packed. I know I've asked you already, but how many of you would love for this place to be packed? Let me tell you one reason. Let me tell you one reason. Oh my God. Let me tell you one reason why it's important. Every additional person that we have in this place adds more energy. It just adds. I remember I went years ago. I was traveling with Bishop Carlton Pearson. Please keep him in your prayers. He's not gone yet. All right? He's yet in the land of the living. Let's just continue to pray for him and the family. All right. I was on traveling with him in California. We had a day off, and there was a theater right by where the hotel, and I went into this theater like in the afternoon, and I saw the movie Forrest Gump. There was no one in the theater but me. That was it, just me. I watched the movie. You know, it was okay. That was my takeaway. It was okay. Then what happened was I saw the movie again in a full theater, and it was just different. It was just different. There is an energy that happens when the place is full. I don't even know how to put it in words. So I'm going to ask it again. How many of you want this place packed? Yeah. Because it gives us the opportunity to minister to more people coming to the Lord, more people gaining strength from one another. All right? So I get it. We would love for this place to be packed. We would love to have a youth pastor, so that Pastor Alvin and Pastor Sonola don't have to do double duty with the youth. We love the youth, but there needs to be a youth pastor, a youth leader. We need that. We need a thriving young adults ministry. We need a thriving young adults ministry. We need more passionate children's ministry workers, more praise singers, more band members, more praise and worship leaders, more greeters, more ushers, more everything. We need more everything. I know it. I see it. But, none of this is a prerequisite to God giving us Bethel. See, we have to be careful when we start thinking logical about things, because we can logically think ourselves right out of what God desires for us to have. And I refuse to put limits on God. I just do. So, Bethel Church is big. It's more than what we need right now. It seats 700. It's big. Compared to where we are right now as a church, it seems like it's too big for us. So I get it. I get those thoughts. I understand it. But it sort of reminds me of the children of Israel when Moses sent 12 spies, men, to spy out the land of Canaan. And the 12 spies came back, and 10 of them said, "It's too big. It's too big. The place is big. The people are big. That's too big." But two of the spies, Caleb and Joshua, they said, "Yeah, it's big and the people are big, but with God's help, we can take possession of it." And that's what I'm saying to you today. Yes, it's big. Yes, it's more than what we need right now. But with God's help, we can take possession of it. It's for His glory. It's not so that we can say we have a big church, because it's not about that, but it's about kingdom positioning. It's about giving us a place to grow. It's about giving us, have been in a place where people can see us and know that the presence of Inawaso is here. Both of them, Caleb and Joshua, said in Numbers 14 and 8, if the Lord is pleased with us, then He will bring us into this land and give it to us. And I say to you, if the Lord is pleased with us, then He will bring us into that Bethel property and give it to us. And y'all know the rest of the story with the children of Israel, right? God got mad at the ten, and the people began to murmur. He said, all right, y'all ain't going to see it. Y'all just going to wander in the wilderness until y'all die off. And then I'm going to take some people into the promised land that have faith. How many of you have faith? Man. You know, we don't have enough people. Well, you know, well, technically, right now, no. If God gave us Bethel today, technically, we would not have enough people. But we don't have to start having church right in there right away. We don't have to start working it like it's, you know, like we have 2,000 people yet. So I get it. Technically, we don't. But again, that's logical thinking. In Judges chapter 7, God told Gideon that he had too many people in his army to overcome Midian. He had too many. Now, how would you like to be a pastor that had a church of 32,000? That's what Gideon had. He had 32,000 in his army, and God took it all the way down to 300. God is not concerned about how big we are right now, although we want to spur growth. We want to do those things to get, but God is not concerned. Listen, size is not a deal breaker with God. I need you to get this in your spirit. Size is not a deal breaker to God. We need to elevate our faith. He's only concerned about obedience and faith. He's only concerned about obedience and faith. But Pastor, can you guarantee that we're going to get Bethel Church? No. I can't even guarantee that you're going to leave here alive. We can believe God for it. But what if there's something that we don't know that God hasn't shown us yet? What if God has something totally different for us? That's fine. I want what God wants. But that's where we're targeting our faith right now. And I believe we're all going to learn something new about God through this process. I can confidently tell you that God is more than able to give us that church. Did y'all hear what I said? So as we ask God in fasting and prayer, this is what this fasting is all about. Because during this time, every November when we fast, I don't always say this publicly, but when we enter this fast, everything is on the table. Everything. The only thing that's not on the table is whether we're going to continue to have the presence in Owosso and whether I'm going to continue to be pastor. Those are non-negotiables until God says different. But everything else, everything is on the table. So we are diligently seeking God to show us what changes and tweaks we can make at the presence to better serve the needs of God's people. We want to do that. Sometimes you need to make some changes. You need to change some things up. And we're going to do that. I believe one of the things, if we really really want to see God fill this place, there are certain things that we can do. We need to be more intentional in inviting people to church. So I'm saying to you, I want you to see my eyes. I am serious about this. We're going to lift up Jesus. The Bible says as we lift Him up, He's going to draw, right? So there's some things we can't do, but we're going to do what we can. We're not going to get in God's way, but we're going to be faithful in serving and doing what God desires for us to do. You going to rap? What's wrong with this? Thought she was going to rap, man. You're scaring me up there. Eh? Okay. But we're going to do what we can. We're going to invite people. All right. So let's believe together, heart and soul, that as we lift up Jesus, that he will add more people to the presence. Listen. It may look impossible, but let's stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I want y'all to take a good look. Take a good look. Y'all know you've already done it. Take a good look around here. Take a good look. I'm telling you in the name of the Lord. You want to call me the weeping prophet? I am prophesying the word of the Lord. This place will be filled in the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord. Now lift your Bible up. I'm really going to preach now. Lift your Bible up and just say this. I will not be destroyed for lack of knowledge. Come on, say it again. I will not be destroyed for lack of knowledge. God, thank you for what you've allowed me to share just now. I pray that you just impressed on me to speak it into the atmosphere, that we will not be detoured over what you've given us to do. We will not worry about how things look right now. And we're praying for wisdom, God, for you to speak to us and show us specific things that we can do to fill this house. Anything that is alive is growing and is vibrant. God, this church is alive, so it should be growing. We should have more people coming than we have leaving. So God, as we continue to seek your face in prayer and fasting, give us wisdom. Give us what you desire for us to do. And as we focus on your word here in these next few minutes, please speak to our hearts. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So turn with me to Genesis, the sixth chapter. Genesis, the sixth chapter. And then also I'm going to draw your attention to John, the 20th chapter. I'm going to read two passages for you.
You there in John, the sixth chapter?
I'm going to read Genesis. I'm sorry, Genesis, the sixth chapter. I'm going to read Genesis 6. Let me read verses 8 and 9. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. The King James Version says grace. But Noah found favor, grace, in the eyes of the Lord. These are the records of the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah walked with God. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah walked with God. Now turn with me to John, the 20th chapter. You there in John, the 20th chapter? I'm going to read, let's see, hold on. I'm going to read verses 24 through 21. John 20, verses 24 through 29. I'm sorry. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. So where we are in this passage is that Jesus had risen from the dead and he had appeared to the disciples. And when he appeared to the disciples, Thomas wasn't there. So that the other disciples were telling Thomas, you know, that what he missed. All right. So, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples were saying to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the imprint of the nails and put my finger into the place of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." After 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors having been shut. In other words, he came right through the door and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said, he addressed Thomas right away, "Reach here, Thomas, with your finger and see my hands and reach here with your hand and put it into my side. And do not be unbelieving, but believing. Thomas answered, the inference is that Thomas did that. And when he did, Thomas's response was, in verse 28, my Lord and my God. Everybody say, my Lord and my God. So for the next 3 weeks, starting today, next three Sundays, I want to speak from a series entitled, My Savior, My Lord, and My God. Everybody say, my Savior, my Lord, and my God. Okay? So I believe that this represents the three stages or the three phases of our walk with God. Jesus is first our Savior. He is then our Lord, becomes our Lord, and then our God. And I'm going to share today about him being our Savior. Would you look at somebody and say, Jesus is my Savior? So my prayer in this series, my prayer is that as we go through this, that God reveals himself to you in a deeper way so that you can confidently say, Jesus is my Savior, Jesus is my Lord, and Jesus is my God. We never stop progressing in the things of God. We never stop learning as Christians. You know that, right? You never arrive. I know you think you know everything, but you never arrive. Don't matter how many scriptures you memorize, how many scriptures you can quote, you never arrive. Crickets, that's okay. You never arrive. You never will. There's always something that you can learn about God. Always. The Apostle Paul, and at the end of his ministry, I'm just amazed by this. At the end of his ministry, one of his most powerful scriptures, he said this at the end of his ministry, that I might know him. Might. After all the missionary journeys, after everything, he said, that I might know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. He was still hungry. He knew he didn't have it all together. We should always be hungry for more, thirsty for more, desperate for more, diligently seeking God, chasing after God for more. That's what this fast is about. Should everybody say, my Savior? So the reason I took you to Genesis the sixth chapter, is because where in John, Thomas said, my Lord and my God. Thomas had already been with Jesus for 3.5 years, right? The inference is we can infer that the disciples had been with the Savior, right? They knew about the Savior, and now Thomas was saying, my Lord, my God. Now, in Genesis, the reason why I wanted you to read Genesis, the sixth chapter, is because I believe the way that Noah is described gives us that pattern. It gives us that phase of Savior, Lord, and God. Let me show you. It says that Noah was a righteous man, blameless, and walking with God. So righteous, that refers to the Savior. Blameless, and I'll teach this next week, is the Lord. And walking with God is God. Savior, Lord, God. Righteous, blameless, walking with God. You follow me? So in verse 8, it says that Noah found favor or grace. So the benefit of being righteous, blameless, and walking with God is that God favors you, graces you with heavenly preferential treatment in every area of your life. Noah got heavenly preferential treatment above everybody else. Now, you know, I'm just the kind of person that says, you know what, God, that's the kind of favor I want. I want that. I want the favor that when you spanking everybody else, I'm exempt. Okay, but I don't want us We don't live for God for the favor. It's a byproduct. You know, we don't serve God for what we can get. We serve God because He first loved us. So I'm not going to dwell on the favor part here. What I want to dwell on is the fact that Noah was a righteous man. He was blameless, and he walked with God. My Savior, my Lord, and my God. So God, it says that in verse 8, that Noah, watch, found favor and grace in the eyes of the Lord. In the eyes of the Lord, which means that God was watching Noah's life. He's watching your life. I'm not saying that as a, you know, to make you scared or anything. He's watching you because he loves you. He loves you. He wants to spend time with you. He wants to break bread with you. Jesus said, "For I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to and sup with him, and he with me." So God saw Noah and favored him. 1 Peter 3 and 12 says, "For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears are attend to their prayer." For the eyes of the Lord are toward the right. Is there anybody in here righteous this morning? You afraid to raise your hand? Y'all must not know what righteous means. I don't know. It doesn't mean, listen, you might have just been a crazy person this week. But if you have Jesus in your heart, you are in right standing with God. That's what it means to be righteous. Are there any righteous people? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Don't be afraid to. Yeah, I'm righteous. Look at someone. I'm going to tell them I'm a righteous brother or I'm a righteous sister. So verse 9 says that Noah was a righteous man, blameless, and walked with God. Let me kind of break it down in this way. Jesus, watch. Jesus took the bread. What did he do? He took the bread when he was going to feed the 5,000. He took the bread and he blessed it, and then he gave it. Jesus took the bread, he blessed it, and then he broke it, and then he gave it. That is also a pattern of life. It's the same thing, Savior, Lord, and God. Jesus takes us first and blesses us. That's salvation. He becomes our Savior. We are blessed. You are blessed to be saved. And then after he saves you, he breaks you, gets all that craziness out of you. That's where you're in the process of him becoming your Lord. And then he gives you. That's walking with God. That's my God. The three phases, blessed, broken, and given. Savior, Lord, and God. All right, let's jump into the Savior. The first thing you need to know is that we are all in need of a Savior. Ain't nobody in this world exempt from that. We all need a Savior. The word Savior means deliverer, preserver, to rescue from danger or destruction, keep safe. Has anybody in here been delivered? Has anybody in here been preserved? Has anybody in here been rescued from danger? John 3:16 says that God gave his son to the world because the world needed a Savior. That's why he came. The world needed a Savior. Y'all know we was tore up from the floor up. The whole world needed a Savior. And listen, still does. All you got to do is turn on the news. The world, we need a Savior. The world needs Jesus. 1 John 4:14 says, "We have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." You need to mark that scripture down. 1 John 4:14. "We have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." We all need a Savior. Come on, look at somebody next to you and say, "You need a Savior. You need the Savior." Come on, tell you need. Just tell him you need Jesus. Just tell him you need. Romans 3:23 says, "For all," not some, "all." We all in that, right? "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of." We all have fallen short. We're born into this world in sin. When you get a chance, read Psalm 51. David. Just read that. We all were born in sin. 1 John 1, 8 and 9. 1 John 1, 8 and 9. I'm just giving you some word. Giving you some word. If we say that we have no sin, we are just you deceiving yourselves, and the truth is not nowhere in you. If we confess our sins, though, he is faithful and righteous, or faithful and just, to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if we're cleansed from all unrighteousness, that means we're righteous. Somebody ought to thank God for that. When we are cleansed from our unrighteousness, we are deemed righteous or in right standing with God. That is what it means to be in righteous, to be in right standing with God. Because listen, we were offensive to God. Our sin made us offensive to God. That's why Adam and Eve had to leave the garden. So Jesus came, watch, Jesus came as the mediator to redeem us back to God so that we could again stand before God, be in right standing with God. Jesus, the Lamb of God, paved the way for us to once again be in right standing with the Father. Okay? The righteous Savior makes us righteous. I'm going to say it again. The righteous Savior makes us righteous. You can't become righteous without the righteous maker, Jesus Christ. I'm going to say it again. You can't be righteous. You can't become righteous without the righteous maker, Jesus Christ. 1 John 2:29 says that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him, Jesus Christ. That's how we become. I know I'm saying the same thing a lot of different ways, but sometimes I got to give you a Taco Bell message. You know, no matter what you order, you're getting the same thing. It's just in a different way. That's what it is. I don't care what you get, taco, burrito. It's all the same stuff. It's just different. I'm trying to give you different ways to let you know that unless you come to Christ, the Savior, you can't be righteous. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he made him who knew no sin. Jesus didn't know no sin to be sin on our behalf. He became sinful on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. There's another taco. It's another way of saying it. Come to Christ, become righteous. Come to the Savior, Jesus the Savior, become righteous. Here's another one. 1 Peter 2 and 4. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. We die to sin and live to righteousness. For by him, by his wounds, we are healed. You know, we always use that last part as physical healing. That's not what that's talking about. I mean, we are still healed physically, but it's talking about your spiritual healing. Your sin. That's what it's talking about. By his wounds on the cross, your sin has been healed. It's gone. The sin sickness that you had, Jesus took it away. Hallelujah. I need somebody here to shout, Jesus is my Savior. Jesus is. Come on, shout it again. Jesus is my Savior. The angel appeared to Joseph in Matthew 1:21 and said, she, Mary, will bear a son. And you, I'm sorry, appeared to Joseph, said she, talking about Mary, will bear a son, and you shall call his name what? Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins, or he will be the Savior of the world. Call his name Jesus. The name Jesus means Jehovah is salvation. That was his mission, to be the Savior of the world. The sole purpose for Jesus coming to the world was to be salvation for you. That's why he came. We're getting ready to celebrate the birth of Christ. So funny, in my neighborhood, one house still had the Halloween lights. house across the street had the Christmas lights. It's just confusing. But we're getting ready to celebrate the birth of Christ, right? Christmas season. God with us. God sent himself to the world. Jesus, God in the flesh. To save us from our sin. A couple of more scriptures and I'll be finished. Acts 4:12 says, "And there is salvation in no one else." You can't get salvation from Buddha, Confucius. Who it is. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Because Jesus is the Savior of the world. He's the Savior of the world. Now I close with this. All of this that I have shared with you, saying it in different ways, why Jesus came. He's the Savior. He's the Savior. All of this means nothing if you don't realize how great a deal you got. I'm going to say that again. I'll try to say it in a different way so you really understand. All of this about Jesus being your Savior means nothing if you don't realize how great a deal you got in this. Because you were guilty, destined for hell, and God sent you a deliverer. Got you out of your prison. You didn't have to do nothing but say, okay, I'll take it. You would think, I'll take it. Do you want to be saved from your sin, from your death sentence? You won't have to serve another day in sin. Somebody's going to come and take that from you. Do you want that? You were on death row. We did a little, Craig helped me a few Sundays ago. We did a little demonstration. You were on death row. Life in prison. And Jesus came and knocked on your cell and said, hey, get out. I'm going to serve it for you. Now, what sense would it make for you to say, no, that's all right, Jesus, I got it. I'm good. You're laughing, but many do because they don't get it. This message, the truth of the gospel, means nothing if you don't realize daily just how good, how blessed you are. And that should be seen in your walk, in your talk, in your life. There shouldn't be a week that goes by where you don't reflect on the fact, man, if it had not been for Jesus, I'd be a mess. God hadn't saved me. Some of y'all, we ought to do testimonies one day or one Wednesday or something, so we can hear people. Some of y'all was into some crazy stuff. I can tell. I can look at you. Ollie, I see it all over you, man. You know, I'm just messing with you. I'm just messing with you. But listen, to hear some of the testimonies of people, some of the things that they have been through, that God rescued them from, rescued you out of. And so this Jesus being your Savior, it doesn't mean nothing if you don't realize that if it had not been for the Lord. See, listen, this has got to be personal for you. It's got to be personal for you. Jesus, watch, has to be your personal Savior. Jesus has to be your, back in the day, that's how you would testify. You know, I thank the Lord for being here, and I thank the Lord for, you know, I'm saved, sanctified. You know, I've accepted the Lord as my personal Savior. That's what you said. I accepted Jesus as my personal. Would you look at somebody and say, it's personal. My personal Savior. It's personal. Personal Savior. And I close with this one statement. It's a little long, but if you don't live your life in the shadow of the dying Savior on the cross of Calvary, if you have at all taken for granted what Jesus accomplished for you in redeeming you and rescuing you from a life of sin, if you don't at least periodically stop and think how blessed and how great you have it for Jesus saving you, then you've missed the whole point of the gospel. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word this morning. I pray that we would all reflect and understand how blessed we are to have a wonderful, merciful Savior who, without any help from us, not anything that we did, Jesus just came and said, I got you. Thank you for being our Savior. Thank you for laying down your life for us. Thank you for making us righteous. The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Right standing. Noah was in right standing with you. God, we want to be in right standing with you. And if there's anything that has blocked that or hindered that, we pray that you would take it away. We want to be in right standing. And if there's anyone under the sound of my voice that is not, Father, I pray, God, that they would repent. Repent of their sins. Repent of their shortcomings. Repent and turn away. And totally give their lives to you, so that they can be reconciled and be in right standing. Thank you for the righteous Savior, Jesus Christ, who went to the cross for us. And because he did, because he lives, we can live. Thank you for it, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for his word. Hallelujah. Come on, one more time. Just tell somebody, he's my Savior. He is my Savior. Hallelujah. Come on, let's prepare our gifts for the Lord. Prepare to give. Hallelujah. Excited about giving to the Lord. Giving to the Lord. I won't tell you how to spell it. You already know how to spell million. Here's how you... That's how you give, different ways to give. Tell you what, listen, man. Woo! Lift that gift up if you're ready. Father, thank you that we are a blessed church. Thank you that we are bountiful, cheerful givers here at the Presence. And thank you, the seed that leaves our hand never leaves our life, but it goes into our future and multiplies. Come on, say, I'm blessed to be a blessing. Say it again, I'm blessed to be a blessing. Come on, say it by faith one more time. I'm blessed to be a blessing. So God, we are a blessed people, and we thank you for it. We thank you for increase in our lives. Increase, increase in Jesus' name. Thank you that as we give, we will see it again in greater measure. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come on, give with a cheerful heart this morning. Hallelujah. How many of y'all know he's a way maker? Well, I want to say just a couple of things as we are. Is today the 5th or the 6th? Fifth, yes. Today is Ruth's birthday. Happy birthday, Rutha! Happy birthday. 29 and holding. I want to say that today's the 5th, so we're in the midst of our 121 pause, our fast and consecration. It's going from November 1st to the 21st, and during that time, a few things are not happening. One, both our Circle 23 and our L3 fellowships on the 2nd and 3rd Saturdays will not happen. Speaking of Saturdays, every Saturday now, for the next, at least the next two Saturdays, we are having prayer here at 8 a.m. We've added some other times of prayer during the week. Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., the church is open, music is on. I'm usually here just praying and seeking the Lord and studying. And if you want to come anytime during that time from 7 to 10, Monday through Friday, do that. Also Monday through Friday from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. We are in here praying, and then also Sundays at 8:30. So added times of prayer. And then I mentioned this before, but we do the 1:11 prayer usually Monday through Friday. That's 1:11 p.m. Just set your phone or something, and when that alarm goes off, just pray. Just for a couple of, like a minute, just, you know, so Lord, I thank you for the presence in a while. So that's usually what I do. Lord, I thank you for our church. Bless our people. Just, you know, everybody does that in that moment. That's powerful. So let's lean in for these next, how many days? 16 days. And let's hear from the Lord. Amen? All right. Love you so much. Let's stand. Lift those hands toward heaven. I give the blessing found in Deuteronomy 1:11. May the Lord, the God of your fathers, increase you 1,000-fold more than you are and bless you just as he has promised you. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you real soon at the presence, believing together, heart and soul, for God to fill this house. Make sure you greet Jim Tierney and let him know how much you love him, all right?